somebody told you that your sufferings are indicative of the tribulation. That's generally true, but it's not the reason that you're in. Eventually, that will be the case. Lawless activity and current hardships vary in their intensity, but are common to life on earth. You know that. I know that. Sometimes your life is pretty easy. Sometimes it's a bit challenging, and sometimes it's unbearable. As far as, I don't even mean just general problems, I mean opposition. Sometimes, and in certain places, the lawless activity and sufferings of believers have been extreme. However, when the restraint is removed, then lawlessness will have a payback. At that point, the wickedness of man will reach to heights previously unseen. Nobody has seen what was about to take place. We can look at it like this. Lawlessness acts, in this sense, like a river. And at various points, the river is noticeably moving along. At some places, it looks like there's no movement at all. Some places, it's like a rushing torrent. But at some point, it will eventually pick up the momentum and rush to its brink at a waterfall. And that's what lawlessness is like. At times it's okay, at times it seems like it's bad but not terrible, sometimes it seems extreme, but eventually we're going to get to that waterfall stage. That's the tribulation. Specifically, you'll notice in verse 7, it is described as the mystery of iniquity, or the mystery of lawlessness. In Scripture, the word mystery is not a reference to something that is cryptic. You and me, in our current lingo, that's how we would interpret that word mystery. But the word, as used often in Scripture, refers rather to a previously unknown truth that needs to be divinely revealed. In other words, people didn't know what this thing meant or anything about it or some things about it, but couldn't get beyond a certain level. And then God may reveal truth about that. That is a mystery then, at that point, until God reveals it. So in that sense, it might be cryptic, but we don't understand it, but it is so far beyond us, we haven't really got much of a vision of it at all. Here, it refers to the lawlessness of the man of sin, his ways that work to oppose the things of God, and even to try to replace God and God's ways with his own. And to us, that doesn't sound terribly bad, but it is. It is plain that man cannot understand many of the ways of God, but now we find out that we don't even comprehend the depths of our own sin, let alone the things of God. How bad is your sin? You and I don't give that a whole lot of thought. And if we did, we still wouldn't think of it as bad as it could be, or actually even as it is. The wickedness about which Paul writes is not something that is going to suddenly appear out of nowhere. It is currently in its infant state. It's already here. It's happened and has been festering since the time that Paul wrote it. So for 2,000 years, this has been moving and probably growing, but it is going to come to another level. So as described here, the man of sin will reach a level of opposition to God that no person on earth has ever done. And no man would have ever even conceived of doing if God had not told us about this. When you think about all the people in history that have done such wicked things, a perversion of the gospel. It is a distortion of truth, and that is bad. Today's antichrists are not necessarily so outwardly opposed to Christ that they speak evil of him or that they decry the gospel. You don't see these televangelists and those sorts, not all televangelists, I guess, are bad, but you don't see the big name ones that are, you know, not say, you don't see them saying, I don't like Christ or I oppose Christ. You don't see them saying, well, let's not pay attention to the Bible. No, they hold the Bible. They read from the Bible. They preach Christ. They'll tell you to trust in Christ for salvation. They're seemingly with us. They're not, but they sound that way. They're religious. They make an outward claim. They show a certain amount of godliness, the Bible says, but they have no substance to their teaching because they deny the power of the gospel. They preach a different gospel. Are they more influential than I am? A million times over. Do they have a larger audience? Oh, yes. Do people go to them for answers? No question about it. But they haven't got anything. They have absolutely nothing to say. Additionally, while they do this, the Bible says that they permit their listeners to live as they want. They don't place demands on people except to hear from them. Other than that, you live as you want. Allowing everybody to do what is right within their eyes. Great to have a religion that says, do whatever you want, just believe in Jesus for all suffering. That's what the world says. That's not right. Now, how do these false teachers do this? Well, Jesus stated that these types claim special knowledge about the law. And when they do that, talking specifically about those that are in our day and beyond, they will get people to believe that Jesus is now back on earth. They're going to actually tell people this. And they're going to let them know that he is in a certain location. And they know this, but nobody else does. Others, he says, will do miraculous works and thereby convince their hearers. The point is that these antichrists do powerful and convincing things while claiming to support the Lord, and their signs and wonders will be so convincing that they will strongly impress even believers. Now, on somewhat of a side note here, or maybe as a buffer to what is important for us to know, this is a significant reason that you and I need to be well-versed in pure Scripture and doctrine. Why? Well, due to our material makeup, right, our carnal makeup, matters that deal with our senses influence us more than doctrine. People are more impressed with what could be done, that they could see or touch or experience, than a truth that is to be assimilated, a truth that is to be studied in Scripture and gives you foundation. I'd rather see, zap, a miracle take place than learn a doctrine of the faith. That's just the way we are. If I were to ask for a show of hands, who here would actually like to see a miracle take place right now? If you didn't raise your hand, I'd be shocked. Probably didn't hear the question, that's okay. We all want to see a miracle. Who here at the same time would like certainly for the things of truth. The Antichrist of the tribulation will have a persuasive way that directs people away from the truth of God's word. Every action of his will oppose the truth of Christ by its spiritual emptiness, and yet it will attract thousands. He will embody lawlessness, leading the world as far away from the truth as is possible. This level of lawlessness can only be attributed to two factors. First, the removal of some divine restraint, whatever that is. And second, the sin that Satan inspires in this man. Sin's